Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a fabulous weekend. Joe Rex Road, how we doing?
Doing great. Pretty good weekend, including some steamy Saturday practice with the Titans.
Yes, it's that time of year, no question about it. Nick Keiser, executive producer. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I have recovered from my burn from Titans training camp, so I'm sure that Joe Rexro did just fine with the sunscreen, I'm assuming. Did you get any luck from Teresa or anyone?
Bucket hat, man.
Yeah.
I actually bought my own, too. I got 70. So I got 70. I got the bucket hat. We're good.
If you have that many, I need to borrow one next time I go.
I think he's talking SPF 70.
SPF 70.
Oh, well, okay.
If I had 70 bucket hats, I think I would give you one.
I would sure hope so.
But, yeah, you faded. You didn't peel. That's good.
Hey, Nick Keiser just powered through. That's why he's the executive producer out there. It was a hot one this weekend, Joe, so I'm glad that you're okay from Titans training camp.
Yeah, you know, yesterday was the day off. So they had a day off yesterday. And yesterday would have been actually great to be out there, right? I mean, it wasn't cool, but it was like in the high 80s. But the one day they take off is the day that it drops from like 97. So, and what about today? We're going to get back in the 90s today? I haven't even looked.
I think it's going to be somewhat pleasant today. It's not going to be 99, I believe. I can tell you that.
Okay. Yeah, just a nice chill 92 today. All right.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Even Vrabel was in a hat. You don't see Vrabel in a hat very often. He was in one on Saturday.
So I'm glad you brought that up. Did you see Dennis Burnside's illustration with that?
No, I did not.
It was like a reply. I just happened to see it on X. It was a reply to, I think, like a Titans official site thing. And he put Vrabel, because Vrabel had the white jacket and the white hat. And I said at the time, he looks like a middle-aged man who's trying to, like, be cool and go snowboarding. He put a great illustration of Vrabel as one of the Backstreet Boys with like a poster they had where they're wearing all white and white hats. It's you got to see it. I'll try to find it for you.
We'll see if we can't get that figured out. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be dropping by at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. So looking forward to that. Lots of reaction from Titans training camp. We'll get Joe's thoughts on what he saw at the quarterback position. Is Treylon Burks about to burst onto the scene this year in the NFL? And some interesting comments slash reaction from the offensive line and the pass rush over the weekend as well. So we'll get into that. But the story of the weekend, Joe, is at the running back position, specifically with Jonathan Taylor and the Indianapolis Colts. And we're going to get more specifically into Jonathan Taylor coming up here in just a few minutes. But Derrick Henry did speak about the running back position on Friday. What were some of your takeaways from what Derrick Henry had to say? Obviously, the Zoom call and all those things that, you know, running backs went on a week and a half ago about Derrick Henry was a part of have been a big popular topic of conversation around the NFL, and that was prior to the Jonathan Taylor incident in Indianapolis that we're going to get into here in just a few minutes. But what'd you make of what Derrick Henry had to say on the state of the running back position?
Yeah, well, it was interesting. I think it was one of the – maybe the – I mean, it's been a lot of years, and this or that will come up. I mean, maybe like a particularly great win or a particularly tough loss, but – I think that might be the most in-depth he's gone in on anything that I've ever seen, you know, like the most willing to talk and passionate that I've seen him about something. So a lot of it was stuff that people kind of already knew, although I didn't know until that day that he actually he started the group chat. So Austin Eckler did the Zoom call. Derrick Henry actually prior to that started the group chat to get those guys all talking, and then they did the you know, they did the Zoom call. I had a few takeaways, one of which I wrote a column on in The Athletic today, which is me continuing to freak out about us never having good running backs again. We can get into that later. You know, it's – look, with Derrick Henry, there is a certain, like, I think sense of, you know, if you're him, like, I got paid and these guys are now getting hosed, you know? So – because, and also there's a sense of everyone should look at Derrick Henry and say, if you think across the board, absolutely it's a hard and fast rule, you don't pay a running back, well, you're wrong. I mean, you can't make that a rule across the board. Derrick Henry completely disproves that. And there were people in Nashville and a lot of people around the NFL when he got signed his deal that were screaming that. And he's about to finish his deal this year, and he's already returned the investment on that deal. So now, is he an outlier? Sure. But I'm just saying, he kind of proves, like, look, it can work out for you paying a running back. But another thing about this, not just, and again, he talked a lot about them trying to, you know, it's like trying to change things and trying to put the platform out there and all that, which I think is great. I don't know that you're changing anything anytime soon. I mean, you're not changing anything anytime soon. But it's not just that some of these guys now, he's seeing them just get tagged and not get the deal. Let's remember, he's about to hit the market, and it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah.
I don't care what he does this year. It's not going to be pretty, and that's just the reality of that position, him at that age, him with that kind of workload already having been, you know, compiled. I mean, that's just – it's what it is. So – he's also, even though he's helping these guys out, he's also a guy who, if he's still great this year at other positions, you'd expect to get rewarded still pretty well, and he probably won't be.
Well, and one of the things that he talked about was the idea that, you know, in the league, if you're productive, basically at most positions, you are then compensated for it, and right, that production shows in your value. And one of the things that Derrick Henry brought up on Friday was at the running back position, a lot of times when you're productive, they say, well, he's got so many carries and they use that against you. There's so much wear and tear on your body and you use that against you. And to your point, Joe, like right now, 25, 26, 27-year-olds are having a tough time getting deals at the running back position. And I know those guys aren't necessarily Derrick Henry. But at age 30 next season, I mean, Derrick Henry could run for 1,600 yards this year, and I think it could still be a struggle out there on the open market for him after this year's done. So, you know, there's a long way to go. He's got a full season of football that he's going to have to play here with the Titans, but I'm more and more fascinated about what his next deal is going to look like and whether or not that's going to be anywhere near what he wants it to be and how much the Titans would be willing to pay if he has another big-time year like he has.
What if the Titans start like 9-1 and he has like 1,000 yards? Does Rand Carthon say, you know what, let's just sign up for next year right now? Let's just see.
It's
if
a
we
good
can,
question.
Let's give him a 2-year deal right now.
I mean, I don't think so. He won't.
Yeah, I don't think he will. But I'm trying to think of a scenario where it's like, because again, we've talked about this, but I still think that Derek and the Titans are best for each other. Now, I say that having not watched full games of Derrick Henry in Tim Kelly's offense, so we should keep that in mind. But, you know, I still feel like the Titans, even with the different offense, like they're still, it's, you know, I think a lot of teams out there it would be a big transition to get value out of him to sign him. You know, now, like Kaharski and I were talking about this the other day at camp. Now he thinks like you have to have 18 carries built in for him to get like the rhythm and just get, you know, get him going like he needs to go. I mean, to me, it's like I hear what you're saying. I would lop off 5 first quarter carries that go nowhere, and you know the total may not be great, but I think you could still get something from him. But still, it's not as easy to plug and play with him as a quote-unquote two-down back as a lot of other guys who are flying around the league. Like Dalvin Cook's going to go to the Jets, and he's going to make a difference. With, like, you know, it's going to be like, yes, put him in there. He catch passes out of the backfield. You know, it's going to be a nice add. Derrick Henry, teams have to think a little bit more about, okay, even if we're investing just like $4 or $5 million, like what are we doing to get value out of that? So all of that is to say, I still think that it makes sense for Derrick Henry's career to continue here after this year. It doesn't mean it will.
Here's what Derrick Henry had to say on Friday as he addressed the media.
So did you guys come away with like anything that can be actionable, anything that you guys can do to help change it and make us better?
I think it's just putting our message out there, revisiting the subject throughout the season, keeping track of guys, trying to help each other as much as possible. I thought that was a great start, having that Zoom call and having dialogue and guys speaking to the media, being outspoken on how they feel and, you know, about everything and, you know, seeing the situation. So, you know, I think it's a start, but I think, you know, what we did is headed in the right direction.
That was Derrick Henry on Friday, and he talked about being outspoken to the media there. And like you said, Joe, he was willing to talk about the running back position in pretty good detail on Friday. Now, having said all that, Joe, just reading the tea leaves right now in the NFL, and like I said, we're going to get into Jonathan Taylor coming up here in just a few minutes. It doesn't seem like there's much momentum around the league for the conversation on the running back position changing anytime soon.
No, look, I mean, it's what it is. It's not going to change. I mean, teams, again, I think where someone gets hosed is like a Barkley this year, the Giants not rewarding him as much as his value this year. His value to the Giants this year is massive. Not giving a long-term deal. Yeah, it's like we have seen several of them in recent years. Most of them haven't worked out. Derrick Henry's has worked out beautifully, right?
Yeah,
but I think it's, you know, it's going to take someone who's incredible and also not hurt at all. And even then, you know, someone will argue, yes, you know, like just someone on the text line, Chuck, you know, this keeps coming up. And I get it. Discuss running backs and their salaries as it pertains to Super Bowl winning teams. The recent winners have been very cheap at that position. But, you know. You're going to tell me, though, that any of these teams that have a running back making a salary, that you disqualify them from being able to win the Super Bowl? I mean, this is what has happened. I think some people look at this a little bit too much as causation, right? And it's not. But still, yeah, it's not going to change much. I mean, basically, they get rid of the salary tag – or salary tag. The franchise tag in the next CBA? Okay, well – but, you know, if you're a back, what you really want is like only two-year deals or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you can get more wax at it. And if you're still great at the time, there's maybe a market. Like someone's like, well, if we had that guy just for like a year or two at age 25, that would be big for us. But short of that, no, it's not going to change much.
Well, and speaking of not changing, the running back position, a big popular topic of conversation over the weekend again, this time in Indianapolis with Jonathan Taylor. And what his future could or could not look like with the Indianapolis Colts. We'll get into the Jonathan Taylor situation coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning discussing the running back position and a wild turn taken over the weekend in the Jonathan Taylor situation. So, Joe, this has been an interesting timeline. There's been some bickering back and forth between Jonathan Taylor's agent and Jim Irsay, Colts owner, on Twitter. It turns out that apparently Jonathan Taylor at some point last week requested a trade from the Colts. Originally was apparently told that there wasn't an answer, that they'd look into it. Since then, according to Stephen Holder from ESPN, has been told by Jim Irsay that they're not trading Jonathan Taylor. And then last night, Joe, Stephen Holder from ESPN comes out with this tweet, quote, source to ESPN, Colts running back Jonathan Taylor reported to training camp complaining of back pain that was deemed to be from a pre-existing issue. The team is now considering placing him on the non-football injury list, which could result in his not being paid for the regular season. Jonathan Taylor responded to that a few minutes later and said, number one, never had back pain. Number two, never reported back pain. Not sure who sources are, but find new ones. This is what Jonathan Taylor had to say. So this is wild going on with Jonathan Taylor. It looks like the relationship has deteriorated to a pretty ugly point between Taylor and the Indianapolis Colts, and he has requested a trade. And apparently the Colts considering putting him on the non-football injury list, according to Stephen Holder. What do you make of all this?
I mean, this is crazy. And here's the thing. Yeah, friend of the show, Stephen Holder, a guy I've known a long time, guy who's covered the Colts a long time. I promise you, he has good sources. So he's being told this by very important people in the Colts organization. There is no doubt about that, okay? Now, are they flat out making up the back pain thing? Whew, I can't imagine that, right? Like, I just can't imagine that. Obviously, this is what happened, you know, the anonymous sources, there's less accountability on that side, but there's still accountability. This is a guy who's covered the team for a long time, covers the team for ESPN, and they're still accountable to him. And so it's really hard for me to believe that this is completely made up on their part, and they're going to put him on the NFI just as a, just purely as like a vindictive move and come out publicly and talk about this back pain stuff if there wasn't something to it. And now Taylor's out there just dunking on Steven and saying it's totally made. I can't get there. Like, if this is some, you know, if this is like whoever you're talking about, whatever, dogcentrallovers.com or whatever the hell last week, you know, like, I mean, you know, sometimes you do see people who just come with source and it's garbage, right? I mean, this is not that. This is the Colts saying this. So I got to think that, like, I can't believe that they would make that up. But then again, on that side of the table, you do have Jim Irsay, who's out there just puffing away on darts and just saying some of the most ridiculous crap I've ever heard. Like, what is it? Like, we're all going to die someday, but I'm not going to pay you, or whatever the hell he said. I mean, it's just, what an absolute mess. And then I don't know if you read Greg Doyle's column, but I mean, that's an interesting thing to throw into this too. Doyle's column about a big thing here with Jonathan Taylor is that he has a new agent who I don't think is helping him much at all. Greg Doyle put that in some interesting terms in his column, but it's become a complete circus, and I feel like I really would like to hear from Indy Ben today.
Yes, we had people wanting to hear from Indy Ben last night on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now, even before the show began. So Indy Ben, if you're out there, give us your thoughts on Jonathan Taylor and that situation going on with the Colts.
We've never needed you more than now, Indy Ben.
We haven't. I mean, we really need Indy Ben today to weigh in on the implosion of the Colts here. I mean, Jonathan Taylor is 24 years old. So, you know, we were just talking about Derrick Henry and what his next contract could look like based on the position that he plays, but also based on his age at 30 years old. Jonathan Taylor is 24, and the Colts look like they have no interest whatsoever and signing him to a longer-term deal. Now, the one thing I'll say on this, I have no idea what Jonathan Taylor and his agents have been asking for. And I, like you said, I think Jonathan Taylor has changed agents. So he changed agents over the summer. And now, like you said, I mean, this one's been airing out on Twitter, and his agent was going after Jim Irsay, like quote-tweeting the other day. So it's not necessarily been handled the best, I don't think. But I don't know what he's asking for. But it's wild to me that we've apparently gotten to the point where it just feels like the Colts have no interest whatsoever in bringing back what's been their best offensive player the last couple of years at the age of 24, just based on either what he's asking for, the position he plays, or a combination of the two.
Well, and look, based on – I've tried to read everything I can read on this, and there, you know, there's a lot of good sources of, you know, Colts coverage. I mean, this looks to me like Chris Ballard just kind of caught in this. I don't think Chris Ballard is like, yeah, get this guy out of here. I think this is Jim Irsay against Jonathan Taylor's agent. And so Chris Ballard, I think, has kind of, you know, tried to calm everyone down, be a peacemaker, and come up with a sensible solution. But look, the solution, even Chris Ballard's solution, is not going to be to Taylor's liking or his agent's liking. I mean, but it just seems like, especially with this thing now, I mean, even with, like, you know, Taylor's on Irsay's bus, apparently he'd already asked for the trade, but don't know, I guess Irsay called him in. Hey, check out this like Jimi Hendrix guitar I got in 1968. You know, who knows what was going on there. But, you know, even with that and even with the weird Irsay quotes and all that stuff, to me it's like it's salvageable until you get to this. When you get to a team source, and again, trust me, a very high-level team source told Stephen Holder this stuff, okay?
Yeah.
Without question. There is zero chance he's putting his career on the line and writing this if it's not from a very high-level team source. So you have that, and you have Jonathan Taylor now basically saying the team is lying. I think it's not salvageable now. And then you get to the question of, okay, so who out there wants Jonathan Taylor, and what are they willing to give up for Jonathan Taylor?
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, we got a texter on Wes in Clarksville on the text line says, Jonathan Taylor's picked a bad time to be wanting a trade. Don't think very many people in the market for a running back that's coming off an injury. This is from Wes in Clarksville on the text line. So, I mean, there is that part of it. You can demand a trade all you want, and I get it, but who's going to pay what the Colts are going to want to do the trade? And also, like, who's the team out there that is going to get close to giving you what you want on your next deal if you're Jonathan Taylor? It's a
that
I
team
know.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
But
it's a really tough thing to do.
And also, now that the Colts have made it clear there's a back thing, apparently, and again, when it's NFI, so what that means is, like, basically, it's an injury. So NFI is like if someone goes out and, like, water skis and gets an injury or whatever, now, you know, that's like basically now you cannot pay them, right? Because it's not an injury. That player plays for the Chiefs. It's not an injury while playing with the Chiefs, so it's NFI. So if this is going to be designated NFI, what it could mean is that it's a back injury that, like, predates the NFL. So if you're another team out there considering that, and by the way, we know he was hurt last year, and now you're like, wait, so there's some old back. Again, this is just what they put out there, so I don't know. But if it's NFI, it would have to be something that's not related to him playing with the Colts. And does that mean it's like a long-term thing? But bottom line, how much more are teams going to be scared away even by that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, when you talk about NFI, and I think the term that Stephen Holder used was pre-existing back condition.
Right.
Well, if that's what it is, I mean, you're talking about that's scaring some people off at that point anyway. Now, I will say the timing of that was pretty interesting to me. It was like, wow, we've gone from Jonathan Taylor having discussions about long-term extension to now they've gotten mad at each other and the agent's yelling at Jim Irsay on Twitter. And now all of a sudden somebody in the Colts is telling Stephen Holder, you know what? We may not pay him this year. Like, he's got this pre-existing back issue and we may not pay him for the regular season. I mean, this has deteriorated very quickly.
Well, look, I mean, I'd like to hear Jonathan Taylor come out and say, because again, this is high-level source within the Colts telling Stephen Holder that he reported to camp complaining of this back pain, okay? So is Jonathan Taylor coming out and saying, absolutely not? I mean, then you got someone just flat out. I mean, there's like back and forth and taking shots at each other. This would be someone flat out lying about this. And, yeah, that's not something you see every day.
No, definitely not. We'll take your thoughts on the Jonathan Taylor situation with the Indianapolis Colts. What do you make of how quickly this has deteriorated? Is it about to fall apart on the Indianapolis Colts? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Do you think kids who are great running backs, say someone like you in high school now, might choose linebacker, be more likely to try to look at another position?
They better. They better choose it how it's going right now, but no, we're trying to change it. But, you know, I just tell kids to follow your heart, whatever you have a desire in, a passion, and, you know, what makes you most excited about the game and the position, you know, you play that. And that's something you want to do, something you want to pursue, you want to be great at. Go do that. And I just want to be a light and somebody they can look up to that's trying to change the platform of running backs and trying to get our share due and try to do it right.
That was Derrick Henry discussing the running back position on Friday. Joe, something that you talked about a lot. Interesting to get Derrick Henry's perspective on that of, is this going to impact the position moving forward in terms of the young talent coming up and Maybe people who are currently in high school or going into college that are playing the running back position, does it cause them to think twice about maybe playing that position long term or maybe switching to a different position? Pretty interesting stuff from Derrick Henry there with the first part of the answer of, yeah, they better consider it. It was funny to hear that.
I mean, like, that, yeah, like, actually, in the moment, you know, you're just standing there. I got there a little bit late, so I was, like, standing right next to him, and I'm just, like, barking questions at him throughout this thing. And so, you know, you're just kind of focused on that. And then later I went through it, and I'm like, he said they better. They better choose another position. No, Derek, no! So I wrote a panicky column about it, The Athletic, which is up this morning. And, of course, I started asking a bunch of people about it and stuff. And of course, my guy Pat Narduzzi talked me down a little bit. He talked me down. So, of course, I had to quote Pat Narduzzi and whatever you can quote him in, you know. This is an interesting question. I actually want to throw it to you because I will say that I think that Derrick Henry – and, like, Nick Saban has said this. Like, all the other teams recruiting him wanted him to be, like, a linebacker. Now, Derrick Henry said he'd be a Ray Lewis linebacker. I think Derrick Henry could be, like Harold Landry. You know, I think Derrick Henry could be, like, an outside – with that speed and his, like, a pass-rushing linebacker, Bud Dupree, whoever. I mean, he has about the same physical attributes as a lot of those guys that are, like, 3-4 outside linebackers. And sack quarterbacks a lot. But the point Narduzzi made, which it made me feel a little bit better, to be honest with you. He's like, you know, it's like some, like, because to me, at college football level is where this changes, right? I mean, if you're a great player, like if you're a great, like an athlete who would be good enough to consider the NFL someday, I mean, a lot of people think they're going to be an NFL player, right? But like if you're actually that level of player, you're like a high recruit and you actually could have NFL potential, you probably play like quarterback and linebacker or running back and safety. Like, there's like a couple of guys on every high school team that play both ways, right? So,
yeah.
So all of which is to say, like, you're going to play whatever you play in high school, and that's fine. I do wonder at the Power 5 level, how many guys are going to be like, oh, man, can I be a slot receiver, you know? I mean, Chris Johnson, right. This is 3 years ago, Chris Johnson said he's not letting his kids think about running back, and if he would have played cornerback, he would have had a way longer career and been dominant, made way more money. Do you buy that?
I mean, I don't, that's the thing though, because, you know, when I was growing up playing football, it was pretty simple. Like from the time I started playing when I was 6 until you're in high school, like the best athlete on the team played running back. That's just what it was. Like you played running back.
Yes.
And then maybe you got to a point where.
Or quarterback, but yes.
Yeah. Often like, yeah, running quarterback, back. Running back, one of the two. Like it was one of the two. And, you know, do I think that Derrick Henry, let's say Derrick Henry goes to Alabama, they convince him to change his position and he becomes a linebacker. Do I think he could have done it? Yes. Like I think Derrick Henry could have played linebacker. The pass rush part of it is interesting. I've never thought about it from that standpoint with Derrick Henry, but I think he's a good enough athlete where he probably could have done it. I think Chris Johnson certainly had the speed where he could have been a really good corner if he had dedicated time to learning the position and all those things. So I'm not saying they can't do it. I just wonder, like, how late is too late? Like, if you're a running back, say right now, and you're a freshman in college, and this continues to dwindle the way that it's dwindling in the running back position, you know, do you have enough time by the time you're a junior in college and you're planning on going to the NFL next year? Like, is there enough time for you to change your position to a point where you're good enough not only to play in the NFL at that new position, but to start and to command the kind of money that you want to command? Because that's the whole point. Like, they're trying to make more money. That's the part of it that's really interesting to me. I think if it starts young enough, then yes, if you're the best athlete on the field, you can do it at a different position. I just wonder, like, at what point do you have to make that decision if you're a young running back? Because the one thing that's interesting to me is, like, I don't know that I see this changing anytime soon with, like, your seventh graders and your eighth graders and maybe even your high schoolers. So at what point in your college career do you have to make the decision to change where you're good enough to play a position that you've never played before at the NFL level.
Yeah. And that's, I think it's college. You know, I think like if you really start learning the craft from really good college position coaches, you know, at a top program, you know, then I think you could. Because the thing is, I mean, even the, so LD says, that's strange to say, should high school kids consider changing positions? Really? If a player's tagged twice, that's $20 million. Yes, LD, but if you are that level of player, I mean, like, I'm not crying for Derrick Henry and his 50 whatever million in earnings, you know, that he's going to have. But the fact is, if he is a 10-year linebacker in this league, it's a lot more than that. So, I mean, look, it's all within, you got to keep everything within the context. Within the context of the NFL, these careers are short. These backs are discarded like no other, and they're not paid remotely like the other players. Of course, it's a ton of money for all of us, but like if you're that level of prospect, what one thing with high school, and I asked Derek about high school, but like I said, I agree with you, Robbie, essentially. Like, I don't think it's going to change a lot. But even in high school, these offenses now are so much more pass-oriented. You know, so
yes,
I mean, I could see again, like we've talked about, like if I'm a parent with a kid like that, who's, you know, maybe a good height, perfect running back. He's been the running back his whole, like you said, it's all the same with me. It's like our best player was always our running back, right? Pretty much. So, but if you're like, you know, 5'11", 6 foot and you're shifty and you're fast, would you be like, man, I'd really love to play some slot, you know? I mean, but again, right. now you can do both, and you want to be versatile and all that stuff. But another thing, I mean, I will say Barton Simmons, Vanderbilt GM, I also reached out to him, and he said at this point, he said, I'm not seeing anything like that yet, you know, in terms of players, you know, trying to or thinking about that actively, like getting away from running back. The point that Narduzzi made, and here, let's go to Barry Sanders, okay? Barry Sanders is, I would argue, the most electric, elusive running back ever. You could say best. I mean, you know, some people. I mean, I recently was looking up running back rankings, and like, I think was it Bill Polian ranked him like seventh all time. Like, yeah, get out of here, dude.
Seventh.
Yeah, it's like, all right, man, whatever. But regardless, he's probably as electric as it's ever been at the position. Thing is, you know, and he was fast, but he did get caught from behind a fair amount too. Like his superpower was his jukes, his elusiveness, right? I'm not sure that he's an NFL player at any other position. I'm really not, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even if he would have worked at it, the dude was 5'8", like 205. Huge, like, that's a running back. And there are some people where it's like, you're either a running back or you're not a high-level prospect, right?
Well, LaDainian Tomlinson, right? Like, is LaDainian Tomlinson, given the size that he played at, is he playing in any other position in the NFL?
Probably not. That's another great example. Again, now Derrick Henry, I actually do buy it. I have Derrick Henry. If Nick Saban, I asked Derrick this too. I'm like, did Saban really, like, did he want you on D? Because Saban always said, no, everybody else was recruiting him on D. But basically, Derrick Henry was like, I'm sure he had visions of it, but you know, he said on offense. What if Saban? I mean, if you're Saban, you can't tell me you're looking at Derrick Henry. You're looking at, you know, 6'3", and at the time, like 230, with that speed, you can't tell me you're not thinking Will Anderson or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like that kind of guy with that defense flying around just blowing people up. If he would have done that at Alabama the whole time with that coaching and that development, I think he'd absolutely could be a high-level NFL linebacker. But again, in a lot of ways, in this discussion, if we're going to revolve around Derrick Henry, he's an outlier.
Well, and then there's like the Jonathan Taylor part of this too. Like Taylor is also a guy. I'm not sure that he's playing another position in the NFL. And maybe, I mean, maybe he is a linebacker too. I don't know. But like it is a very interesting thing to think about. Of, I guess the big question I have is, at what point do some of these younger guys who, you know, with the NIL world and with, you know, the influx in college football and the changing landscape of it, at what point do some of these guys, maybe who are thinking about this, have enough foresight to go ahead and make the decision? Like, are we a couple of years away from that? Are we 10 years away from that? Like, at what point, if you're the 10th grader who's being heavily recruited right now to play running back, are you looking around and saying, you know, I feel pretty good about my chances to make the NFL. I don't feel great about the way the running back market is going. Do I make that switch now as I'm a 12th grader in high school, or do I wait until I get to the NFL to look around and say, is this really the position I want to play? I'm interested to know, like, when that foresight from people who are that young really starts to take place.
Yeah. I mean, another guy I thought of, Reggie Bush. Like, would Reggie Bush have been – could he have played anything? You know, I mean, maybe corner, but some people are just like, that's a running back, you know? And and also, let's also keep in mind, if you are that level of running back and you get the ball all the time, what's more fun? You know, it's also like James says, you want to play running back, be the best you can be, make money, retire a millionaire at age 28. Not bad at all. Then go into coaching or broadcast. No problem. Okay. Again, if we're comparing any of these people to regular people, then it sounds amazing. Okay. Like I'm not dismissing that they can still make a lot of money, but you know, if you are so good that you could play another position, then why wouldn't you consider it at some point?
Do you think Eddie George could have played another position?
Well, I wrote, and I was like, let's imagine the Titans' all-time team. Earl Campbell at middle linebacker, and then Eddie George and Derrick Henry coming off the edge. Oh, boy, how exciting.
I mean.
That's probably it, right? He's probably the same kind of thing, outside linebacker type guy.
I would like to have seen it.
Yeah, I mean, or inside linebacker. He would have blown some people up.
Yeah, he was physical. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the running back position. Got a lot of those to get to on our text line. We'll do that coming up next. We'll also get into some of Joe's observations from the quarterbacks in Titans training camps as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
You mentioned earlier in the week that you liked the approach that Malik has brought coming into camp and through the spring and things like that was – today's play where the NFC throws the interception and bounces back with a nice play after that, is that kind of embody what you're talking about?
I think so. You know what I mean? And just understanding, like, that's a new look. Every week, every day the defense is going to put some new things in. Offensively, we're going to have to see it, adjust to it, come back the next period or whatever that may be. And, you know, they made a play. We've made a great play. And then, you know, Malik came back and got everybody in the huddle, settled down, and you know, went on to the next situation, which was a third down, and hit a big play.
That was Mike Vrabel over the weekend discussing the play of the quarterback position, specifically Malik Willis, in that clip there. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Joe, real quickly on the running back discussion again on the text line, got a texter that asked, could NIL be used to keep kids at the running back position? What do you make of that one?
NIL is a weapon. Wow.
It is.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought. Let's sweeten the NIL deal. I'm trying to think of, like, let's see. Like, who in college football right now could – you know, just switch to something else and be good, be potentially good. I don't know.
Could Blake Corum switch positions and be something else? I mean, he's the most prominent running back coming back. I mean, I don't know.
That's,
I mean, NIL to me is he's established his market as a running back.
Yeah.
So you can get paid that way, but I don't know if it's preventing somebody from switching positions.
Yeah, like NIL, so it's like NIL obviously is definitely being used to bring kids places, right? It's on the front end, but it's like a guy like Blake Corum. First of all, I think he's actually a pretty good example of his size. Like he's a running back. It's what he is, you know. It's his best chance. I don't think that guy's going to DB or maybe he's a safety, but yeah, you know, that's the thing. Like, you know, it does have to be pretty early so that you actually see if you're good at something else too, you know. It's not like, so it's an interesting thought. NIL's a, no, you're gonna be a running back, I feel like once you get to the point where someone has value, like at running back, it's probably a mistake to try to switch, right? Like, it's got to happen like real early in the college career.
Well, it's really interesting because we had somebody on the text line bring up Jalen Reeves-Maben, who played running back in high school and then, you know, obviously was a defensive player by the time he got to Tennessee. Like, I kind of think about, and it's, you know, it hasn't worked out for him to this point in his NFL career, although he did just sign with the Patriots. But, like, Jalen Hurd, right? Like, Jalen Hurd, you know, and we talk all the time about Jalen Hurd and Butch Jones making a mistake of not giving Alvin Kamara more playing time, and I get all that. But Jalen Hurd, had he stayed at running back and stayed at Tennessee, probably would have broken Tennessee's all-time rushing record. And he decided to, number one, Kamara came in and took more of the playing time and all those things, and then Butch Jones, it all fell apart. So that there was part of that. And then he decided that he wanted to switch positions, and he went to Baylor. And what was he, tight end? Then he transitioned to wide receiver.
Running, like, or receiver, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, that was a guy that decided that his best NFL future probably wasn't going to be at the running back position while he was in college, and made the decision in college to go ahead and make the position switch. Again, it's not worked out for him great at the NFL level so far, but that is an example of somebody in college switching positions on the fly.
That is that's a really great example. And, you know, what you'd like to see is, okay, let's go back and let's say he stuck it right, because he was good. It was just that Kamara was, as we've seen, I mean, Kamara was special. And Kamara, you know, especially I think catching the ball in the backfield, was a lot more of a weapon than Hurd was. But what if Hurd just stayed at running back? Would he have at least had like a good, you know, first contract in the NFL? I don't know. He was pretty good. He's pretty good running the football. He was. I would say, probably a better prospect doing that than what he ended up doing. I mean, I think he was in the league for a couple of years, right? I don't think he's there in the league anymore.
I think he just signed a tryout contract with the Patriots. So, he may or may not make the team. We'll see. But like you said, I mean, he was going to break Tennessee's all-time rushing record. I think people forget that. Like, yeah. He was not that far away from doing it. So it's just interesting to think about. We'll get back into the running backs coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Really fascinating discussion. I'm interested to get Corey Curtis's thoughts on it as well coming up at 8 o'clock. Joe, you were at Titans training camp over the weekend. What stood out to you about the quarterbacks, specifically Malik Willis and Will Levis over the weekend?
Well, Friday was a bad day for both. Friday was one of those days, like after that, I was like, we've seen plenty of days where it's like there's Tannehill and you're seeing good NFL quarterbacking, and then you're seeing the other two, and it's just the contrast is pretty stark. With different issues, like with Willis, just again, like not getting the ball out fast enough, a little bit too ponderous, and he's late, and it's just now some of that was, and we're talking 7-on-7 and we're talking team. Mostly team. Some of that, look, right now the Titans defensive front, and yeah, they're just in shorts, but they're still pass protecting. They're still pass rushing. They're overwhelming the Titans offensive line. So you have to keep that in mind. In some cases, holding the ball too long, but it's only like 0.8 of a second because the pass rush is in your face. That said, it still wasn't. It looked too much like last year. With Levis, I thought at times, you know, he did a good job of getting the ball out real fast, you know, and recognize, okay, it's got to go here now. He's just missing passes where he's just sailing it. And his main issue is sailing the football on, not all the time, but on the occasional pass where it's like, man, one play, I don't remember who it was over the middle, but he was wide open. It was just a little dump down, and it was a few yards over his head, just sailed. He threw, you know, they both threw picks. One, again, I think for Levis was just bad accuracy with Willis. And this is Saturday for Willis. He didn't see Rashad Weaver dropping in a zone blitz, and he threw it right into his arms. Saturday, they both play a lot better. I think that play I just mentioned from Willis, I think that was one of the key moments of the day. You know, he drops back. Rashad Weaver fools him. He's in a spot he's not expecting to be in. Pick. Defense loses it because, you know, whenever a big guy gets a pick, you know, people are, you know, you're going to have fun. Very next play, Willis drops back, and you could not throw a better deep ball than the ball he threw to Chris Moore, beating Chris Jackson badly downfield on a post. But, I mean, the ball was absolutely beautiful. Touchdown, offense goes nuts, kind of a nice response. They were definitely both better Saturday. So, Levis with some real nice. Levis is definitely working on, I think, his touch, and even in some of the like individual drills. Like I noticed the other day, like Vrabel was kind of there closely watching him and maybe talking to him a little bit, you know, and some of the even just little dumps to the backs and things like that. Just trying to work on that, you know, work on the changeup, right? Work on the like feathering the ball in there. So even in team, he had a couple passes that were underthrown. We were talking about this on the sideline. It looks like a concerted effort to work on that touch. But at the same time, I think that the sailing passes sometimes isn't like he's just throwing too hard. It's like a footwork mechanics thing, right? Like when it sails on you to that extent, it's like, to me, it kind of looks like he's just not doing his footwork the way he's supposed to. So that's one of those things. And I was talking about this with Jared Saturday. You know, Levis having this year, he may have this offense absolutely imprinted in his brain by the end of August, right? And know everything. But I think this year is a lot about like mechanics with him. You know, he's got to get that to be more consistent. You just got, you know, as you know, you got to be consistently accurate with the football in this league.
Well, and we talked about accuracy issues with him in the draft process, right? I mean, that was one of the big issues that I had about was, you know, can he take care of the football? And the luxury of being able to, if you're Charles London, if you're Tim Kelly, whoever it is, to be able to work with him on that and not have the pressure of him having to play immediately, I think goes back to the importance of having Tannehill here and Tannehill ready to go and not having to worry about, you know, your second round draft pick coming in and starting for you immediately, because you do have some time to work on that. Now, I did see people on Friday when both of the quarterbacks struggled, and this was, you know, Titans fans on Twitter, which is every time that, you know, there's overreaction to training camp practice, it always tickles me. But just the Levis, how is he not more ready than this? He played 2 years in the SEC. How is he not more ready than this? And I understand the thought process there, but it's a rookie quarterback in the NFL. It's just a different game, and they've got time to work with him. I wouldn't freak out just yet.
No, not freak out time. You have a good quarterback. So, but I, you know, it's the question of that my mind has changed on, as we've discussed many times. You saw what happened with Josh Allen, so I'm no longer – I used to be pretty hardcore with, yeah, whatever you are, you get to – you know, like you get to a certain level at hoops, and whatever that jump shot is, if you got good jump shot form, beautiful. If you've got jacked up jump shot form, it's just hard to change that when you're like 18, 19, 20. And I thought the same thing about being accurate as a passer in the NFL, but we've seen it. Because Josh Allen was awful early as an NFL quarterback. So it can be worked on. But, yeah, look, that's also one of those things where, you know, a very small group of people in the world can consistently hammer the ball into the spot where you need it time and time and time again, right? So I don't know if he can be one of those guys.
102.5 The Game has your chance to win single-day passes to the Bourbon and Beyond Festival in Louisville, Kentucky, Thursday, September 14th through Sunday, September 17th. All you got to do, text in the keyword Thursday. That's Thursday. Make sure you text it in now to the game text line, 615-737-1025, for your chance to win a pair of passes to the Thursday show featuring Brandi Carlile, Billy Strings, Train, and more. Text in the word Thursday, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, there's somebody else that's turning some heads at Titans training camp, both here locally and on a national scale as well. We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.